point, it's been a listening guide, so pretty much the notes you need, if, you know, hopefully, if you're really avid about your blanks, and I don't get to everything, I'll give you the blanks later. But hey, so glad you're here. This is my first opportunity to do this with Don Mutton. He's the singles pastor here, and we've known each other for a while, and he invited me out. So I'm actually from Monroe, Louisiana. I don't know if y'all watch Duck Dynasty. Yeah, we all look like that, you know. But anyway, I live across the river from Duck Dynasty. They live in West Monroe. I live in Monroe. So anyway, it's kind of in the northern part of Louisiana. So about 5 hours away, 6 hours away. So it's good to be here with y'all today. And I just want to share with you some ideas to kind of help with some strategies if you're a leader and you're working, you know, in your life Bible study. So these are some ideas that can help you. And we'll stop along the way if you want to talk or you have a question. You may have somebody may have an answer that I don't have, and we can just share some. But I'm so glad that you're here tonight. Let's pray together and we'll get started, okay? Lord, thank you for your blessings tonight. Thank you for the message we've already heard from Neil. We're so grateful, God, that you are a big God and that you can do amazing things in us if we just will avail ourselves to be used by you. And I pray, God, for your blessings upon each person that's here, that they will just be able to be used up by you. It's such an honor to be able to serve you and to be a leader and to be able to call ourselves a believer. And I pray you would just help us, God, to rely on you, to be used by you in the ways that you want to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all. Thanks again for being here. So I'm a leader. What are some things what do you do? Is anybody here new leaders and you're just starting out? Okay. Well, good. This is some stuff that's going to be valuable to you. If you're not a new leader, these are some things that we need to be doing that could be helpful to you. But if you're a new leader, here's some strategies for new leaders. So that was what Don asked me to come and share with you. And again, I'm Jay George. I'm singles pastor at North Monroe Baptist Church. We have a website. You're welcome to send me any questions or email me. I'm just jay@northmonroe.com. If you have a question you want to shoot me later, you're welcome to do that. No, it's actually .com. So jay@northmonroe.com is my email. So this is talking about new leaders, building leadership, and helping to develop that leadership community, learning how to prioritize your leadership development. So some of these are some ideas if you're trying to develop people. Maybe you're a director in your Bible study. Maybe you're just a leader, but you have some things that you're trying to accomplish with a team. How do you go from me doing it all to a we idea? And really, the whole point is we need to be a team, right? And we need to develop a team. So that's the idea here. And also, you want to give away your ministry. One of the things I learned when I was in seminary at Southwestern in Fort Worth, Texas, is what you want to do, and they say ministers need to do this, and we're all ministers, just some of us are paid ministers and some of us aren't. But we want to be able to develop our ministry to where we can walk away from whatever group we're leading, and somebody could step in there and do our job. And then we can go find another group to minister to if that's what God has for us. So that's the idea here. But there's a lot of excuses that people give for maybe not teaching. Have you heard some good excuses? So here's some top 10 excuses why people say, I can't teach. Part of being a leader is you've got to continue to look and recruit people. Do you know that? Do y'all do that? Are you responsible for some of those things in your group? You're trying to look for people to come in and do your job. So here's some things that people would say. Number 10, I don't enjoy spending time with what? People. That's probably not a person you'd want. If they don't like people, then probably they don't need to be a leader in your group. But some people, that's the reason they use for not being involved. Some of them will say, it's not my spiritual gift. You heard anybody say that? Well, that's just not my gift. That's interesting. Also, along this way, I have a lot of books that you can look at. These are some of the top books that are right now that Christians are reading to help you. So I instead of saying all these and trying to write them all down, I just gave you them right here. So there's a book called Discovering Your Spiritual Gifts. It says an easy-to-use guide that helps you to identify and understand your unique God-given spiritual gifts. So one of the things that we want to do is you want to have somebody who's in your group that feels gifted and knows what their gifts are. Because sometimes you may have somebody who's trying to teach a class and that's not really their gift, is to teach. So you may have somebody else, but they're really good with fellowship. So they're really good with doing other things in your group. So you want to be able to help them. So if you want to check out this book, you can do that. Peter Wagner is the one who writes that. And he's talking about when you become a follower of Christ, you receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. How can you be certain that those gifts, what are the gifts that you have? There's all kind of gift surveys you can do. Have y'all done a spiritual gift survey too? So you kind of know what you're supposed to do. If not, talk to whoever your leaders are and say, you know what, I want to do a gift survey so I'll know exactly where I'm supposed to be. And those are things that can be done. There's actually a book that we do at our church, and it's we call it Shape, Finding My Shape. Have y'all read that book, Finding My Shape? It's called Shape is the name of the book. It's by Rick Warren. It's Saddleback. So that's another good book. I didn't list that on there, but if that's another thing that will help you. We're actually having a class that we teach on Sunday mornings. At our church, we call them life groups. We don't call them Sunday school classes, but there's a life group that you could go into to learn your shape, to know how God created you to be. Another thing that people may say on reasons that they or don't teach is they say, I'm too busy, right? Number seven, would I have to be there every week if I teach? And the answer is, if you want to be committed, you need somebody that's going to be there and consistent, right? This is another thing, number six, is I'm afraid of speaking in public. A lot of times, that's one of the biggest fears that people have is speaking in front of people. Isn't that interesting about Neil Jeffries talking? And, you know, remember Moses in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing, right? So sometimes people fear that. They're afraid to do that. I have no one to watch my kids while I'm teaching. So that maybe that's an excuse that someone would use. Actually, their kids could be going to a Bible study too, right? Number four, some people are weird and I wouldn't know what to do. Guess what? We're all weird in ways, but yeah, some people might use that as an excuse. I don't know what to teach or how to teach. That's a pretty legitimate reason to not teach. So we need to be able to train people if they're going to be teachers, right? I didn't know that we needed more volunteers at our church. I thought we had all the volunteers we would ever need, right? Always we need to continue to recruit people and look for people that can come in and help us. And sometimes people just say, I don't know how to sign up. How do I sign up to be involved in teaching or be a leader? Why does our church need new leaders, life Bible study leaders and teachers? Because of attrition. Everybody here is working in the singles ministry. What happens if you really find somebody you really like a lot? They get married, right? And they move out, and guess what? They're not in the singles ministry anymore. Don was talking about how quick that turnover is in the groups here. I think he said somewhere in the 20s to 30s it happens. I don't know I can't remember the number he gave. But I mean, all the time people are meeting and they're getting married, which is a great thing, but means you need new teachers, you need new leaders, right? Also, why does your church need new leaders? Because you need to start new groups and new classes. You want to continue to grow. Anything healthy, it should grow. If it's something healthy, it should be growing, right? So we need, and it goes in the blank, we need volunteers. We do need volunteers. And there's a book out there, it's called The Volunteer Revolution, Unleashing the Power of Everybody. And this is by Bill Hybels. Y'all familiar with Bill Hybels? He's a pastor at Willow Creek Baptist Church in Chicago area. So that's a great book to read too if you want to read more. I really want to give you a lot of stuff because there's just so much I can talk to you about, but if you'll read a book, it can really help and spark some ideas with you. How do you prioritize the leadership development? Well, Jesus had a strategy, and if you're a teacher, how many of you are teachers in here? You're a teacher, okay? And then how many rest of you are what would you be, a leader? Are you a leader within your group, okay? Or a director? Got some directors in here? Well, there's some ways that Jesus had a strategy about how he trained people. And let's look at this for a minute, okay? What did Jesus, what was his leadership strategy? Well, the first part says he preached to, and it starts with an M, the multitudes. Remember, they used the word multitudes. And that was a lot of people. If you're reading the Bible, it could be, what, how many people did they feed that time? 5,000. And then there were plus the women and children. Mm-hmm. Imagine. So Jesus, he preached to that many people. So part of his strategy was is to teach to as many people as he could teach, right? Or to preach to as many people. And then it says he also sent out. He sent out 72 people. If you can look at that in Luke. That's actually talking about he actually had a team that would go out before him wherever he would go to teach. He would send out two by two, it says. So all the different places, he was sending out people to prepare. Kind of like the Billy Graham Crusades back in the day. The younger guys may not remember that. But they would plan this out. They wouldn't just go to a place and say, hey, we're coming to your stadium. They had all these people organizing all this. So Jesus organized things, right? And then also he mentored how many people?
12.
There were 12. Pretty good success rate, too. 11 out of 12. Jesus didn't get it perfect in that way either. Sometimes we don't get it perfect. Sometimes we have people that we think that we're going to invest in and it didn't work out. But anyway, he had a plan. He mentored 12 people. So Think about that. If you're a leader, who are you trying to mentor? Who are you trying to teach how to become more like Christ? Do you have someone you're discipling? That's something that we want to be able to do as leaders, right? He also befriended, in Matthew it talks about he befriended three people. You all remember who they were? Anybody?
Peter,
James, and John. Yeah. But yet there was one he loved. And in the Bible, the guy said, the one he loved.
John.
And that was out of the book of John. So who was it? It was John. So John. So that's some of the strategy. So Jesus had a strategy. The king of the universe who came here had a strategy on how he wanted to teach and how he wanted to lead. How do you go from just you thinking you've got to do everything to it's going to be a team? From me to we is the idea. How do you give away your ministry? Well, there was a process that Jesus used, and this was what his training process was. And I was talking to one of the other ministers that was here from First Baptist Springdale, and he was saying this is exactly what he's doing. He says, so if you're trying to train somebody and teach somebody in you within your church, I do and you watch. Okay? So someone's watching you. So maybe whatever job you're doing, somebody tell me some things that you're doing within your group. What are some classes that are here? What is your job? Somebody want to just say what you do?
So yeah. Part of the Redwoods Plus, currently one of the things I do is help plan a retreat we have every couple of years.
Okay. So you're planning a retreat. And how many you do?
We do it every 18 months.
Okay, 18 months. So and tell me your name again.
Keith.
So Keith, so what you would do is you want to get somebody, if you're going to do this, I do, you watch. You need to get somebody to start watching you.
Exactly.
Because one day you're going to get married, probably.
Well, I am married.
You are married, okay. Yeah. Some of you guys are married in this group, right? And some people are single that teach too. I'm sorry, yeah.
That's fine.
So you are married, but you still may move. Maybe God moves you somewhere else. So you want to begin getting somebody to watch what you're doing. And then the second part is, says, I do, and you help. So the person that's watching what you do, they begin helping you. They're not just watching, but pretty soon you begin enlisting them to help you do whatever you're doing. Number three, you do. So the person that's been watching you, they begin to do it. And you're helping them as they're doing, right? And then you do, and I watch. So you're watching to see how they do. Maybe they're teaching a class for the first time, and you begin watching, and you're just observing what they do. And then it says, you do, and someone else watches. So that's kind of the process. If you look, that's what Jesus did. There's another book that ties into this, Courageous Leadership, Field-Tested Strategy for the 360-Degree Leader. And this is actually another one by Bill Hobbles, the same pastor of the church. Here's what this book's about. Yours is a staggering responsibility and a matchless privilege of rallying believers to mobilize their spiritual gifts in order to help people who are far from God to become fully devoted followers. So how do you do that as a leader? This book talks about some of those principles. Because that's what we're trying to do, guys. We're trying to rally people together to become followers of Christ, right? And that's the whole idea of what Sunday school, life groups, your Bible studies are about. You're trying to help somebody become more like Christ every day. So that's what we want to do there. So that's a great book. What are some skills that are needed to be successful and to be a successful director or a teacher or whatever your different thing is? First of all, spiritual growth is going to be a part of it. If you're going to have success, you've got to have a personal Bible study plan. And you're spending time in God's Word. If you remember what Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Early in the morning will I seek you. So we've got to begin our day where we're beginning to spend time with God. Some things that would tie into spiritual growth, and as you're looking at this and you're preparing, let's say you're a teacher and you're preparing, here's some steps in that preparation. As you open up God's Word, what do you observe out of God's Word? So observation. What do you see as you open up God's Word each time? And you may ask that, God, I'm going to open up your Word today. I'm going to spend some time with you, and what are you going to show me? And then pretty soon you've got to begin to interpret, what does this passage mean? So that's another step as you're doing your Bible study. As you're preparing to be the kind of leader. And then you want to make sure, yes, sir?
Please, what was the O under one?
Number one was observation.
Observation,
interpretation, and then number three is application. And I really think this, I really think that sometimes we don't spend enough time in our Bible study groups doing application. And I think that, so in other words, we're reading God's Word, and we're knowing a lot of history stuff, and we're knowing all these things, and we can answer and fill in a lot of blanks. but we don't really ever apply it to our lives. Make sure if you're a teacher, make sure if you're responsible for a group, that there's a time that, and this sounds a little flippant, but it's really not. What's the big deal? Why do we do this whole Bible study today? How does this apply to my life? Because God is speaking in His Word, and it should apply to our lives. So the application is important. How do I get God's Word into my life in a practical way? And that's the application part that you want to make sure as a leader that you're trying to help. Make sure your group, the group you're responsible for, that they're understanding that application is huge. What are some skills needed to be successful? Well, here's some ideas here. How do you teach the Bible? Teaching for spiritual transformation. So what we're trying to do when we teach God's Word is we're trying to allow God's Word to transform us, to change us. Just like the butterfly changes, right? When he starts out as a caterpillar and he changes into a butterfly, you want to see a transformation in somebody's life. So you want to see life change. And that's really one of the ways that our church, we try to see success. Sometimes people get caught up in numbers. Well, how's your group? Is your group growing? What's your numbers like? And really, that's important because people, what? Numbers represent people. That is very important. But also, you want to make sure, are people's lives being changed in your Bible study classes? You know? Are we just worried about the roll sheet and that everybody got checked off and the numbers look good? Jesus, I think, is concerned about all those things. So transformation and life change is what we're looking for. Not just to cover the book as content, like you're reading a history book or a literature book. And that can happen. So involved in this is whenever you're getting ready to teach, we need to be prepared. So when do you, if you're a teacher, when do you begin looking at your lesson? This is open up for, y'all talk to me. When do you start? Anybody teaching in here? Okay.
I teach mid-length, so I almost begin the lesson I'm prepared for the following Wednesday, even before I sometimes give the previous.
Oh, wow. So you're doing it more than a week. You're almost more than a week ahead. That's amazing. How many times do people just get ready and say, oh, Saturday night? And that's not preparation. So the idea here is, guys, we've got to be willing to be prepared and spend time in God's Word. Let God speak to us so we'll have things to share. Because a lot of times when I'm doing lessons, and I teach every Wednesday night to all of our singles, and then on Sunday mornings, our different life groups meet, and I'm not really a teacher. I just go around classes, and I stick my head in, speak to people, pray for people, that kind of thing. But I'm always preparing. Like if I teach on Wednesday, as soon as I'm done, like on Thursday morning, I'm in the office, and I begin preparing for what I'm going to do. So I'm about a week away. I have my outlines, and I have everything laid out well in advance, but I start preparation really about a week ahead. So just something to think about. So that way God can begin speaking to you. And then maybe there's something in your Bible study that you have an illustration that God speaks to you and says, oh, man, this probably ties in, and you're able to share that. And then when you share what God's doing in your life, someone across the way goes, oh, man, he's doing that. Man, I can't believe that they said that. And it's amazing anyway when you read God's Word how you present one thing and then God says something totally different to somebody across the room. And they begin sharing, hey, what do y'all think today? Do y'all want to share about what you got? And somebody gets something totally different. You're the teacher. I'm like, man, I didn't say that. Isn't that cool? It means God did. The Holy Spirit said something. So we want to make sure he's a part of it, right? So those are huge things. Making Small Groups Work, that's another book you could check out. What Every Small Group Leader Needs to Know. And this is by Cloud and Townsend. It says, members are a part of a small group because they want to grow. So we need to understand that that's why people are in your group. Some people come in maybe for the wrong reasons, but most people are in a small group because they want to grow. They want to learn more about Christ. So that's why they subject themselves to coming into a place, especially if they're new coming into your church. They don't know anybody, maybe they don't know anybody, and they're coming in. How many times have you been into a new place? It's hard. And they're doing that. Well, they must have a desire. And then this book says they want to grow. What are some other skills that are needed to be successful? Well, part of, I think, having a life Bible study group that's successful is we got to care for the members in the group. So here's some ideas here. Personal prayer time for all of the life Bible study members. Make sure there's a time that you pray. And do y'all do that? What do y'all do at the end? Do y'all have sometimes people will have a sheet they'll pass around and they'll send it out. Sometimes we do it social media. There's some ways to do that. But make sure that you spend time praying for people. People have needs, and we need to connect with people. So in whatever way you can do that, you know. Here's something I like doing. Again, I'm on staff. I like walking around throughout the church and praying throughout the church. And sometimes I'll walk around the sanctuary, and I may be up in the balcony, and I'll say, you know, God, I don't know who's going to be sitting here on Sunday, but somebody's going to be sitting right here in the seat. And Lord, I don't know who that's going to be, but would you speak to that person? And then I think, man, why would anybody? And I'll be at the back seat, the worst seat. If you're a Super Bowl, you don't want the worst seat. But sometimes at church, the worst seats are the most popular seats. So I'll see that seat way in the back, and I'll say, God, I don't know why anybody wants to sit here, but if they get here, I'm glad they're here. And speak to them, even though this is a really hard place to focus and worship because you're so far back. And you know what I mean? So, but pray for people in your group. Find ways that you can pray for them, you know, whether it be a prayer walk. Look for ways that you can do one-on-one praying for people. How many of you guys, late men and women, how many of y'all will, if someone says, hey, would you pray for me, will actually stop and pray for them? That's huge if you'll do it. If you ever get in the habit of doing that, that is so meaningful to people. And you don't have to make a big deal about it like a Pharisee, but just pull them off to the side and say, yeah, you just tell me something. And you're going to the doctor and you're nervous about what the doctor's going to say. And I thank you for sharing that. Is it okay if I just stop and pray for you right now? And do that. Because you know what? That's what Jesus would probably do. But sometimes we say, I'll pray for you. And sometimes we remember. Sometimes we don't. Right? So praying for people. You want to make sure you're caring for people. Number two, expressions of care and concern. So how are you showing expressions for care and concern for the people that are in your Bible study group? This is something that someone told me a long time ago, and I say it all the time, so I'll claim it. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So we've got to show people that we really do. He talked about it tonight. Love. We've got to love people, you know? We've got to love people. And part of loving people is kind of getting dirty with them sometimes and having to deal with their issues and their problems. If we really care about them, we want to be Jesus to them. And some people need Jesus when they come to church. And they need a hug, and they need somebody to put to handshake or whatever, ever how you show affection in an appropriate way. They need that. Because maybe in the singles ministry, they haven't been touched all week. So you've got to figure out a way that you can connect with them, you know, in a holy way, in a godly way. So show them that. Number three, it's constantly another way that we want to care for members is constantly communicate with them. And this can be done in all, what ways can they be done, guys? Y'all know all the ways. How do you connect with people?
Facebook.
A Facebook message, man. You can't. People, if you're friends with somebody on Facebook and you have message, you can always find them. You might not have their text, right? But I message people and they respond. So that's huge. What else? What's another way you communicate with people in your group? You actually call people? That's huge. That's old school there. Calling people, email them. Cards. You ever send them a card? That's a big deal, guys. If you'll do that. We do this a lot at our church. Is we just have a little cards, and they don't really, I think they have a stamp. The church will put a stamp on them, but they're just like little postcards, but they're just blank in different colors, and people will write. And as you're sitting in your life group time, your Bible study time, and you notice maybe at the end of class, you notice some people hadn't been in a while, just write them a note. And then, you know, figure out how to, surely y'all have addresses and address them, and man, get those out. Probably if you leave them at the church, they'll probably mail them for you free. We do that. But just make sure you're connecting. So whatever way you can do that. But constant communication is huge in whatever way you want to do it, okay? And then number four is spend time with them individually. That shows people that you care about them. If you can spend time with somebody individually, or if you can spend time with them as a group, maybe a group of people, whichever way you want to do that. But that means something to people if you'll spend time with them. So how do you reach new people? And we're always wanting to reach new people, right? Sometimes we get caught up in just, you know, the holy huddle that's here, and we don't worry about everybody else that's not here. But the thing to really understand is a church is not meant for the people that's here. We're building a brand new building at our church to seat more people, and we're building it for people that aren't even there yet. Sometimes we get caught up, right? This is my church. Well, it's God's church. And there's a lot of people that need to be here that aren't here yet. So you want to make sure you're reaching new people. What are some ways to do that? And this is some old school stuff, but it's good. Develop a prospect file. You know, is that kind of a churchy word? Prospect somebody who you think might come, or maybe they've come before, but it hadn't been a long time. How many times do they have to come to your church before they become a member? Some churches have rules and that kind of stuff. If somebody comes to our church and they say, hey, I want to join, guess what? They can join first. So you can join Sunday school. You know, you can join the Life Bible Study right away. And in church, if God called them, they can join church. But I mean, so you want to develop a prospect file where you're continuing to look for people in ways that the people you know. Number two is help your members. Here's another thing in helping people grow. Help your members learn how to do their testimony. That's something that you could do. If you're looking for something new to do in your Life Bible Study group, maybe in addition to your Bible study, maybe one Sunday or a few Sundays, spend time writing out your testimonies and then let people practice sharing their testimonies with somebody. If you'll write out your testimony and you'll share it with somebody in your group, maybe you'll share your testimony with somebody not in your group, right? And it's not that hard to do, but that's something that we want to do with folks, is help them to do their testimony. A lot of people that come to your church, they don't have a Bible. I know y'all give away free Bibles here. I think I saw a rack, you can get a free Bible. But they don't know where to look for things, and maybe they're embarrassed when they turn to, you know, Hesitations 3:16 or whatever. And people are looking in their Bible trying to figure out stuff. But you want to help them, a new person, to understand where the Bible is. Help them learn how to mark their Bible. For me, growing up, I have a Bible. Actually, my Bible's on my phone, and I still highlight it. But I have a Bible that I've marked up and stuff. But when you have a new Bible, a lot of people don't know how to mark their Bibles. And when the preacher's preaching, underline their Bible. And it's amazing when we underline in our Bible how many times we'll go back to that. And we'll say, I wonder why I did it. My wife, if you could believe this, she writes in her Bible. Can you believe it? That you can write in your Bible? Some people would think that's just terrible. But Cindy writes in her Bible, and she'll write down the message and who preached it. And so she's doing this kind of stuff, and she's looking through her Bible. But we want to help new people learn how to mark in their Bible, especially if they are learning how to accept Christ. Show them the Roman road. Go through the Roman road and mark the Roman road with them, right? And just go right down through there how you become a believer. Help them learn how to memorize Scripture. That's something that, y'all do that a lot here? Y'all memorize a lot of Scripture? That's something that we don't do as much as we need to. Our pastor challenged us the other day to begin memorizing a passage of Scripture. And it's like a passage of Scripture, not like a verse. So we're beginning to, you know, kind of go through that. And it's always interesting because there's so many different translations now. It doesn't really matter which one, but he wants us to begin doing what I think is Romans. I think it's Romans chapter 3. He wants us to begin memorizing that. So what are some other things that you can do to show for outreach, to reach out to people? Here's some ideas. Here's some ideas of outreach that can help you to be a winning, because we're all on the same team. We're all trying to win people to Christ and see people come to know him. So building a winning team. He says, this is his idea. It's a team that is willing to work hard as unto the Lord. So we want to have a team that's willing to work. And everything we do is unto the Lord. Even with your job, I don't know what jobs you have. And sometimes you might have a terrible boss. And what I always say to our folks is, guys, you're not working for your boss. The Bible says we do everything as unto the Lord. So you're trying, and we're trying to do everything that would please God in that way. We need to have a strategy that a team is capable of carrying out. So what are some strategies? What are some things that you try to do? It needs to be something that you could actually do. We're trying to win this many people. We're trying to build our group up to this many. Begin setting some goals that you want to try to do with your Bible study groups. How do you match up players with compatible positions? So you've got to find out what people's gifts are. We talked about the shape class. So as you're getting people to help you in that way, you want to make sure that you're matching them up to where they can best be used by the gifts that God's gifted them. And do you have an attitude that expects to win? You know, get out there and can we win? And the idea here is grow. And we have, I'll talk about that a little bit. Grow, which stands for God's rewards for our works as we focus on the kingdom. And Matthew 13, verses 53 through 58, just a little bit of that is, the people in Nazareth walk by sight, not by faith. And we need to walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we just, that's pretty big for you, God. I'm not sure if you can do that. Do you ever do that sometimes in your life? If you keep a journal, you wouldn't do that as much. because you'd see all the ways God's brought us all the ways through all these tough times. And sometimes we get a real big thing, but God, I know what you did. I'm 55. God, I know what you did for 54 years, but man, this one's a big one. I don't know, God, if you can handle this time. But man, we serve a God that can do anything he wants to. He talked about that tonight, a big God. So we've got to make sure we're walking by faith, not by sight. If we walk by sight, then a lot of times we won't do things that maybe God wants us to do because we're saying, well, that won't work. I don't think that'll do. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if our group can do that. So what are some things that we can do that help you and help us as we continue to do outreach? These are just some things, that just practical things. Everybody in your group, every member of your group, get them involved in these ways. Do you have somebody that can help you to write a card or a letter? So I have now letter writers. And sometimes somebody said, well, there's not really anything I can do in the group. I bet you get somebody that can write a letter. I know that's not really common these days, but that's huge. We have one of our guys that teaches in our group, one of our singles groups. He writes a handwritten letter to everybody that visits his class. And he's the teacher of this group. Isn't that amazing? If you get a letter, a handwritten letter from anybody, even your mama, you'd be impressed. But Barry writes a letter to people. So that's an idea. A phone caller. So someone visits your class, and before maybe Monday, maybe even on Sunday afternoon, someone has called them and says, hey, I noticed you went to whatever name one of your groups are. You know, one of our classes is called the Journey Class. Hey, you came to the Journey Class. Man, it was awesome having you. Did you have a good experience? Tell me about it. And just talk about it and let them say what they want to say. Here's another group thing you can do with somebody in your group if you're looking to get people involved, is someone to be a prayer partner. So the prayer requests go out and somebody actually prays over them, and maybe they send a letter or an email, a text, and says, hey, guess what? You wrote this down and we prayed for you this week. I want you to know our group prayed for you. So you have somebody beginning to do prayer in your group. So someone signed to do that. Is y'all's classes broken down this way, or are these some pretty good ideas? Maybe a crisis minister. So maybe in your group, I'm not sure who in your group, there's people that have issues, major issues. And sometimes we can talk about them, right? And we can pray with them, but it's way over our head. I don't have a counselor in the group. So I'll meet with somebody, and then we have some counselors that we recommend that people see. I know y'all have counselors here, I think, at this church. But make sure that someone is directing them to people when they're in need, right? Because when somebody's in a crisis, they really need somebody to help them. Not well, I'll get to you. Well, you know, so-and-so really was, they were kind of struggling, man. They were talking about some pretty serious stuff. Man, I don't know, man. I don't know. What should we do? We'll get them to connect them with somebody, whether you're letting Don know or something, but get them help, right? Another idea for a member. Maybe you have somebody who loves to talk about Jesus, and they'll tell everybody about Jesus. They could go, you know, to get an IC, and they're talking to the clerk, telling them about Jesus. So a soul-winning person. So get some soul winners in your group, and then give them time to talk about. Maybe on Sundays after y'all finish your Bible study time and prayer time, hey, guys, how's that group going? Yeah, man, we got to lead three people in the Lord this weekend. That'll fire up your group. Talking about helping your group grow, and all of a sudden they've led somebody to the Lord, and then maybe next Sunday they brought them in there. So a soul-winning group, people that really go and share. Another thing you want to look for, too, is Bible study recruiters. So you want to continue in your group to find people that will help you to lead Bible studies. So who do you have that's doing that? How do y'all do that in this group? Do y'all recruit people? Does Don recruit people? How do y'all go about continuing to bring in new people into your group to help lead, to do the different positions? I'm asking you.
Part of it is, at least for us, is knowing who in the class, their spiritual maturity level, and their sometimes comfort, but their availability to teach.
Yes.
At a drop of a hat, we need somebody.
Right.
And it's always been a blessing.
Good. So that recruiter is going to be looking and checking and looking at those kind of things. So you have people that are constantly looking at that. Church member enlisters, absentee cultivators. That's something that's really a big deal, right? If somebody misses, how many times does somebody have to miss your life Bible study before somebody notices? Is somebody on top of that? Does somebody work with that in your group? These are all things that you'll want to think about working with your group. There is a thing called a grow plan, and it can fit into schedules. I know everybody's busy today. Everybody guards their time. But here's an idea on this. I don't know how y'all do outreach here, but here's an idea you can use. Four teams, they rotate in responsibility for outreach. So the grow team. The G team serves the first of the month, okay? So the G team goes the first of the month. The R team serves the second week of the month. The O team, third week. W team, fourth week. And then if you have a fifth Sunday, you don't have a lot of those, but if you have a fifth Sunday, then you can all come back and do something like that. But you're actually getting together and you're trying to help your group grow. So this is your outreach that you decide to do on your own, because I don't know if your church does. At our church, we don't do Monday night visitation anymore. But the staff calls people. We give cards and letters and visitor cards to all of our leadership teams and let them do that. So they're responsible for that. But this is something you could do on your own. You decide you want to do this if you want to grow. So this is the idea that they give here. There's a book about growing God's church, how people actually come to faith in Christ. This is by Gary McIntosh. It says, the power to dramatically alter the way you do outreach. So this book will give you some ideas on how outreach has been done in the past and what are some ways that you can do outreach just for your life group Bible study. A really good book that would be helpful if you want to check that out. And then here's five ideas for starting some new classes and new groups. One of the ideas, and Southern Baptists used to call it, there used to be a negative word that say, well, we're going to split your class. Everybody's pumped about that. Or we're going to create a new unit, that's another term, or birth a new class. But here's the bottom line. If your class is healthy and growing, eventually you're going to run out of space and you need to have another class, start a new class. We'll say start a new class. So here's some ideas here. So how do you do this when you're starting new classes and groups? It's got five things here. A teacher leader, what needs to happen is whoever's your teacher or your leader, they need to find an apprentice, somebody that's going to be in charge of that class. And they begin letting them see you. Just the things we said earlier, watching what you do, and they begin leading. So find somebody. If you're the teacher and eventually your group's going to grow, get someone who can fill in and begin teaching and give them opportunities to do that. Because one day they're going to be teaching their own class. You know, Lord willing, that's going to happen, right? So here's another, number two, is your class or your group need to start a new group. So another thing you can do if you want to start a new class, what do? You start a new group. Sometimes you just got to do it. You know, Nike says it, just do it. It's time to do it. It's time to start a new group. And because we're trying to reach people for the Lord, and we don't want to get in a holy huddle. We don't want, you know what I mean? Red Rover, come right over or whatever. Sometimes we don't want to send anybody over there. We want our group to stay where it is. So eventually you got to do that. Now, here's another idea, is a class could start a new group. And then the fourth idea is there may be, you're trying to start a new group and you don't know where to start. Maybe you need to start another stage group or a skill group. There's different ways to do that. We've been having we have a 20-somethings group that was really struggling at our church, and they were meeting on Sunday mornings. And our 20-something group, I don't know why, your 20-something group are doing awesome here because I was talking to Don. But our 20-something group, we couldn't hardly get anybody to come on Sundays. So we began, we said, what if we moved it in a home and did it on a Thursday night? We exploded like five times more than we were running. You know, they eat supper together. We're just going through the book of Luke together. We started before summer or near the end of summer. And it's just been amazing what God's done, just growing and growing. So whatever you need to do, start some life stage groups. That could be helpful. Maybe there's an affinity group that you could start. So maybe a group that everybody has an interest that they like doing together. That's why it's amazing, isn't there? Cool, Cowboy Church. And I don't know if there's a skater church. But anyway, there's all these different groups, right? All these different churches that meet together all around what they like to do. Well, you can do that in the singles ministry, too. What are things you like doing? That may be another way if you're trying to start a new group or reach a new group. So here's a book, another book that would be helpful to you. Building Leaders, a blueprint for developing leadership in every level of your church. So that's another idea. But there's also some reasons that church leaders have heard that people don't serve. And here's some reasons. You've heard some of these. Why do people not serve? You guys are in leadership. Why aren't there more people in leadership? Here's some reasons. Number one, some people would say they're too busy. I'm too busy, man. I don't have time to do that. I got time to do a lot of other things, but I don't have time to do that. Number two, I had a bad experience. You know people like that? They've had a bad experience. sometimes people have bad experiences and they stop coming to church. And you talk to them, and you know, it's sad to hear what happened to them. Or, and here's another one: they got too many family pressures. Number three, too much stuff going on. Number four, I just don't want to be tied down. Man, if I serve as a leader, how long do I have to do this thing? Is it like forever and ever, amen, as Randy Travis used to say? You know? So you have to decide. Number five is I don't know what there is to do. I would serve as a leader, but I didn't really know. Is there, what do you want me to do? So you've got to begin telling people. That's why I'm giving you some ideas on things that people can do in your class, maybe if they're not a teacher, because there's something that everybody could do if you'll just look for opportunities. Some people, number six, say they feel unqualified. I feel unqualified to be involved in leadership. So you got to let them know, if they listen to the message tonight, right? Everybody's qualified. You know, nothing's too big for the Lord. Number seven is I need fellowship myself, so I really don't want to serve as a leader. A lot of times that's a good excuse that people use, or an excuse that people use a lot. I'm not saying it's a good excuse. Number eight is I've never been asked. So we want to make sure that we are asking people to take the next step. And really the ideas are what, guys? This is one of the circles that people have. This is your core. You guys right in this group would be right in this area right here. You're committed and you're in the core. Well, we've got a lot of people that aren't there. We have a lot of people that are just in the congregation, right? The crowd or the people that come check it out sometimes. And then you got the community outside of that. So these are all ideas of where you're trying. We're trying to funnel everybody in here. I know Don talks about this with y'all, I bet. Is you want to try to get everybody here. You want everybody to become a core member of this church, and they're involved and they're excited about what they're doing. And if you're a leader, you're already there, but you got different people in different segments there. So some people who never get asked, they remain out here. Maybe they're in the crowd. Well, I didn't know I could do that. So make sure you're doing that. Number 10 is sometimes people just fear failure. That I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can see. Yes.
Number 9,
I've already served my time. You've heard people say that? I've already served my time. I did that. Been there, done that. A lot of times that happens. I'm retiring. So do you have a plan for developing leaders? Here's some strategies, and I'm almost done. Y'all can ask some questions. 5 strategies for new Life Bible Study leaders. Here's some things as you're making strategies for leaders. Is ask your people. So get their ideas. What are some things that we can do to involve your leaders in developing strategies? You guys, don't be afraid to talk to Don about ideas that you have. As the singles pastor at my church, I don't know everything. So I want to hear ideas from you, especially with new ideas and with younger groups. What are things that were popular? So like I said, we weren't hardly reaching our 20s. So we started doing Thursday nights, and it just exploded. And that was when they wanted to come. We feed them. They get to hang out. And we're taking a group skiing next Thursday. And we're going to take a group skiing up in Winter
Park.
Hopefully, yeah. That next Thursday, I'll be there. So anyway, get their ideas. Number two is establish team-based ministries. So in other words, come together as a team. Make it a team thing that you do. Whenever you do things as a team, it creates synergy. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to make it to where it's exciting. I used to work at a place as a job recruiter. This was a cool job in between ministry opportunities. I was a job recruiter for the concrete industry. So if you can imagine how hard that would be. It was a really niche. And I would call off these guys. I'd get on the resume. I'd pull up resumes. And I would begin calling people. Hey, man, I got this company that needs somebody, you know, a superintendent or needs a project manager. And they do concrete work. And I'd go with their resumes and talk with them about that. But what we'd do is if we ever were successfully recruited somebody, our company would get a portion of their first your salaries, how they would do that, and that's how we got paid. But if we ever landed somebody, and I would say I wasn't the best at it. I'm doing what God wants me to do now, but I wasn't the best at it. But when we did, they had this bell, and somebody would get up and ring the bell. We're all working in one big office, like this, and their desks everywhere. And somebody would ring the bell, and we'd all go, "Hey, ring the bell! We rang the bell! We're excited!" Well, if you work as a team, you get excited about things. So work as a team to where you can create that excitement. Number 3. Enlist mentor teachers. So as you're beginning to develop new leaders, have mentor teachers. Use your gifted teachers to teach others. We've talked about that already. So make sure you're doing that. Guys that are great teachers need to be showing other people how to teach and how they do that. Number 4 is look for online resources. There's all kinds of things that can help you if you're a leader, if you're a teacher. I mean, there's so preparing for things is so different. When I went to seminary, you used to have a library. They used to have a guy who used to sell encyclopedias. Anybody ever remember that? You ever know encyclopedias? And he would come, and man, if you wanted to have a wealth of information, you'd buy the encyclopedias. Now you just pull up Google, you know, and it tells you everything. So online resources are very valuable to you. Give lots of books and articles to read if you're trying to create and to teach people. That's why I want to give you so many books to read, because it's going to give you so much more than I can give you. Develop a leadership course. If you're trying to develop leaders, what are some things you think are important? Maybe your group to develop a leadership course. Develop a purpose and mission statement. Do y'all know what y'all's mission statement is here? Do y'all have a mission statement? What you're all about, what you're trying to do, and what you're trying to accomplish?
Great Commission.
It might be the Great Commission. I don't know it here. That probably would be it. But most churches have a thing. So you want to know what your purpose is for when you're meeting. What's your? So that's something, if you don't know that, talk to Don and ask him that. So you know what your mission statement is. And a teaching course you could develop, here's just an idea. I think I gave you this, like a basic Sunday school ministry. What are the basics of Sunday school? And really, that's kind of what I'm going to talk about next time if you stay. Sunday school organization. How do you organize? How do you decide what everybody's going to do? How do you reach and develop witnesses? Sunday school leadership, spiritual life. Leading a Bible study in Sunday school. Observing a class. Those are all things that could help you if you're trying to get somebody to develop into be a teacher or to be something within your group. So those are some ideas I have. What things, I went really fast, but what things do y'all have that you have any questions or anything you want to talk about that I didn't talk about?
I know we're kind of short on time, but I think one of the things that you pointed out were top 10 reasons people not serving, too many family pressures. I think we've experienced that, and that's one area we've kind of just been challenged and kind of addressing. I don't know if I've seen anything that kind of alleviates that, or
I think there are times that that probably someone doesn't need to be serving if they have things going on. But I think sometimes everybody has stuff going on too. I mean, that's the other argument, you know, not that you're trying to argue with anybody, but you know, if you're thinking, I can't do it because I got stuff in my life, everybody got stuff going on in their life, so when are you going to make it a priority? So, I mean, you've got to decide that. If you're recruiting somebody, you've got to decide, well, what is the pressures that are going on? Is there any way that we could help to alleviate those things? Can I pray with you? And then let's decide whether or not, you know, you could come on leadership team or not. You understand what I'm saying? So that's just, there needs to be some intuition and then use some wisdom there. Because some people, man, they got excuse for everything. Right? And when are you gonna do something for the Lord? Are you just gonna, you know, be under the circumstances all the time? So anybody else have anything else they've added to that? Or?
How do you handle that line between, because I feel sometimes in groups we try to make it so good for people to like come and learn and everything that it starts becoming like an entertainment, and people become consumers, and the mentality becomes like, hey, what can I get out of it, instead of like, what do I need to learn to like move forward?
I think that you've got to decide, you got to make a decision if you're in charge of some of the leadership. When do you begin to push people out of the nest to begin to do something? You know, because you're right, it can be consumer oriented, but eventually you got to, you know, who's going to be the next leader? Who's going to be the next person that's going to do outreach? Who's going to be the next person that's going to do this? You know, is God calling you? And you've got to challenge people. Or some people are just be consumers. They will be consumers if you allow them to be. So you've got to decide, are they going to get, when are you going to move from being in the congregation to just being committed, you know? So sometimes you got to get people space and say it's time for you to step up, you know? You want to step up and challenge them a little bit. You do it in a loving way, in a caring way. That's my thought. Because some people will just, you know, they'll sit back and soak instead of serve, right? What else? Anybody else? Got a few minutes. Y'all are quiet. Is this practical stuff? Yeah.
Well, I want to say that I really like this. I was talking to Marcos earlier about this specific point. What was Jesus' training process?
Yeah.
This is really good. It's something that, although I read it all the time, it never actually was concrete now. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
I definitely did all these things. Like,
good, good.
I need to apply them too.
Good. Yeah, and you do have some people that aren't.
You know, people go through times in their lives. You know, maybe it's not right for somebody right now, this year, or whatever. That doesn't mean that it's never right for them.
Right.
That's something that we need to, you know, acknowledge for ourselves, too. God has called us to be right here, right now. But like you said, I mean, I was a single in this church for, I told everyone I was a career single because I was a single for so long at First Baptist. But, you know, God calls you for a place and a time, but not that's not static. Forever in that role,
yeah.
You know. As we're asking to get other people involved, God's going to say, "Well, give me your hand. I'm going to pull you up to some place that you've never been before." So if we're constantly on that path of how can we do more and serve in a different way than other people,
and there's so many different ways you can serve. There's different levels, so you've got to figure what level. If you're trying to get somebody, you think it's time for them to try to do more. Give them something that would be a level that would be a lower level. You know, you don't. They're not going to teach, right? You know, maybe they're helping set up chairs. Maybe, you know, figure out things that they can do. You know, and discerning. You got to be discerning about that. And loving. Always want to be loving. But sometimes you've got to be stern in your love, too. You know, Jesus was. You know. Anything else, y'all? Well, let me do this. I think it's time to go, unless you're going to stay for another session I've got. Let me pray for y'all real quick. That'd be all right. Lord, thank you for this group. Thank you for these leaders. I pray for them, God, that you would continue to help them and train them up in the way they should go and that they would just honor you and what they're doing. I pray for success. I pray that they would come together as a team, cohesive, and that they would accomplish a lot for the kingdom, God. That's what it's all about. Thank you that I met new brothers and sisters in Christ tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What was that? Okay. Okay. I got a card to give away. Who has a birthday in February? Who has the closest birthday to February? My birthday is on the 24th. Who has the closest birthday to February 24th? I'll be the winner. What's yours?
January 12th.
Anybody closer than January 12th? Well, we can go to March.
March 17th.
Which is closer? Anybody in math?
Too close to call.
March is closer.
Yeah.
You're the winner.
Yay.
Winner, check it out. I don't know what you win, but you're a winner. Thanks, y'all.
You bet, buddy.
March 17th.
Quick question.
Yeah.
If you're in a leadership position, a director of a life,
we have a group structure.
What if you have leaders in that group that are forming or
there may be a
good way to approach that? Maybe if
they're
not getting the job done adequately, is a good way to say it.
Well, you can do this. If you're a little nervous about what to do and how to handle it, I don't know if you want to go talk to them. Unless you're working with them, and that might be the appropriate thing. Unless Don's saying, "Hey, it's your group. You just pray God and give you wisdom on how to do that." And then you've got to decide too, based on each person, based on personality. So that would be
okay. Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's hard because you get people to volunteer, which is hard to do.